Hey everyone, welcome to Actively Begging, a weekly podcast where we debate random topics from around the globe. I'm joined today by two lovely co-hosts.
Arr.
Jacob, how are you doing today? What are you drinking?
I'm drinking another vodka soda, this time with La Croix. Fancy.
What's La Croix?
LaCroix.
Plebeians call it.
Sorry. I do like LaCroix. I just didn't know it's pronounced La Croix. Tom, what are you drinking tonight?
I don't think it is. I'm a big LaCroix fan. I don't think it's pronounced La Croix.
Hey, if you're a douchebag, yes it is.
Tom might be the biggest LaCroix fan I've ever met, so I'll take
LaCroix,
his word.
I wish I was drinking LaCroix right now. Honestly, it's
just those letters.
It's basically an elixir, LaCroix, and that's it cures all. But I am drinking my sweet Mexican nectar once again, Herradura tequila. I am continuing on the bottle from last episode. And God, it goes down so smooth. I got by the end of last episode, I have to say, I slept real nice. That's how good this tequila is, Steven.
I will be honest, I made a good choice with going with the wine last week. I'm actually going to continue that choice and be super fancy. This week I have a lovely Malbec from the lovely country of Argentina called Butcher's Hook. It's pretty good. I don't know. It's all right. But I literally went through the whole bottle last episode. So I plan to do the same thing again. But I really want to start this week off by just saying we talk on Skype while we do this, and I have to look at these two ugly faces every time we do this. And Tom's fucking headphones piss me off so much. He wears them in the front of his face. It's so dumb. I don't get it. It's like, just put them on like a normal human being.
Wearing them over my eyes.
Yeah, it's literally
I'm doing like a little robot dance.
It's so amazing.
I mean, I know this is a visual. This is a visual. Wait, keep him there.
We could.
What's the guy from Star Trek?
It's what's his name?
Yeah, I know that black guy.
100% him
from Star Trek, right?
The like only black guy from Star Trek.
Yeah, what's his name? I forget his name, but
Speaking of Star Trek, I'm repping a Star Wars t-shirt to fight the Black Plague that is Steven.
What? I never said that I didn't like.
Representing his hatred of the Star Wars brand and everything we stand for.
If anything, I'm for the Star Wars brand, and I'm saying it's all good. You guys are negative and saying that some of it's bad, some of it's good. And I'm like, hey, I like it all. It's all good. I eat anything Star Wars. You guys are very picky.
I'm saying I only like
Star Wars that was back in 1970s.
No, it's
not true.
You're just a hater.
I'm not a hater at all. I enjoy any kind of Star Wars. You know, it could come in tinfoil, in a microwavable container. It could come in on a nice plate. I like it all. I like it all.
When was the last time you put Star Wars in tinfoil? I'm really curious.
I'm just saying I can accept it in all forms to consume.
He's a liar and a hater, and we're moving on.
All right. So what's up, guys? How's life? Life is good. Jake is in the middle of a big move to Chicago. Tom is in the middle of being a big fuckboy. And I'm in the middle of this bottle of wine. Jake, how's Chicago?
Listen,
how are you liking it?
Steven's new big thing, guys. He thinks he's an athlete. All right? He's been playing in this volleyball league. And he's like, guys, fun. I'm so good. He's like, my team was losing. And then I'm like, just set me up for the spike. And then we won four games in a row. And we were undefeated.
That's not how it happened.
I'm pretty sure that's the way it came off your fingers.
See, this is what I deal with, guys. I literally say something and they twist my words like a fucking knife in my back. That's how it happens.
We've also been reached out to by all of his teammates and asked, how do you deal with his inappropriate advances? And where is the HR department on this volleyball league? And we're like, listen, guys, we can't help you. This is just how Steven is.
Yeah. Well,
we actually offered to share HR departments, but currently ours is in transition, so they're going to have to wait.
Oh, man. Well, listen, I know that the beggars don't really care about our real lives, so let's start off this week with Tom. Tom, no, Jake, you've been second this whole entire podcast, basically. Now you're going to be first. You're first in line, first on the chopping block.
I love it.
Let's go.
All right. Now, these are loose numbers. I heard the exact, but I'm just giving loose numbers. So, for the last 3 years, the TSA in 2017 collected nationwide around $700,000 in loose change from their, like, bins from the security run-through. 2018, it rose to $900,000. 2019, it's expected to be over $1 million. Loose change left in the security bins.
What?
My question to you two is, what do you think should be done with that money?
Wow, interesting. This reminds me, and I'm going to go right off topic because I just don't give a fuck anymore. But this reminds me of something I just heard, and I don't want to talk about it. But the MTA loses about $3.5 million in people jumping over the turnstiles. And
yeah. Well, New York City,
I don't want to get into it.
Prosecuting it.
Oh, well, I don't want to get into it, but I was like, holy shit, that's crazy. And the fact that people are leaving that much money in is that real? Like, how is that real? I mean,
I know I've left change.
Really? You've left change?
It's when you empty your pockets into these bins and you're picking your stuff up. You're not going to be picking up the quarters and the pennies because you can't have anything in your pockets going through security.
I'm done with cash. I'm done with it. I'm literally moving.
Just to think, that's the amount of cash too that's like declared. Like, imagine like the TSA agents that are just like, yeah. Ooh, look at that nickel.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Now, I do have currently what is happening with it, but I am curious to hear your opinions before I dilute your brains with the reality.
Well,
I'm curious to
of
hear
course.
Your opinions
well,
of
I'll
what
actually
should
answer
happen.
The question, unlike Steven.
Oh, my God. I was about to answer
You know
it,
what?
Go on.
I say this. I mean, finders keepers. There's a bunch of money. The TSA should use it to support their airport security efforts. They should use it on equipment, on salaries, on whatever to make airport security run smoother and work better.
Essentially go to corporate of the TSA to allocate best that they see fit. Whatever corporate of the TSA is. Oh, but you're saying, well, like the agent is not keeping the money. He's giving it to a boss who's funding that. There's a difference between finders keepers and the TSA,
yeah.
You know, buying new security equipment with that.
Well, I'm saying like the TSA finds the money.
Yeah, but that's not your money. First of all, I mean, you get paid as an organization by the government to be there. You should be giving that back to the government, and it should be given back to taxpayers. That's what should happen. I doubt that would ever happen. In a realistic scenario, I would personally like it to be collected and then redistributed to the employees.
What are they going to do? They're going to split $900,000 among
better,
all
or,
Americans?
You know what? I don't care. Put it.
No, I don't mean redistribute it to the employees.
Yeah,
I don't think
we should be spending it on security regardless. The TSA, in my opinion, and I think there's plenty of proof to combat it, is that the TSA has not stopped that much coming in. You know, they are a level of security, but their security measures are way above what needs to be there. I think, you know, all that money putting $1 million into something like that, it's just going to go into the pockets of the corporate people. I don't think that should happen. If anything, I think it should be collected and redistributed to the people and get them lunch. Like, I don't know, get as many people as you can lunch. You know, the best TSA locations.
Any people or just the TSA agents? Like
no,
a pizza
no,
party
the,
for the TSA
like
agents.
A party for the TSA agents. Like you go to, I don't know how, I don't know, maybe $1 million could pay for every single location's lunch. If it can't, then I would pick the top 50 of them. I don't know, whatever it is to,
well,
you know.
Wouldn't it be in your scenario, I'm just saying, like if the Fort Lauderdale airport, whatever, collects that much money, then they have a pizza party, like, Why do you need it all to go to a central location or reward them all evenly?
I think because it's in the end, like the collective amount of money is better than you know, like the $75 you collected over the year, you know? Like, I don't think, I don't know. I don't think there's enough money to pay like one, let's just say LaGuardia or JFK. Those companies or those sections of the TSA don't collect enough money to have lunch for the whole entire section, you know? It should.
Yeah.
Honestly, in a perfect world.
I said, Steven, how do you feel about if the TSA agent or the TSA just gave it to their number one employee who conducted the most cavity searches that year? Do you think that's fair?
No, I definitely don't think that's fair.
Have one cavity search guy and then just give him
lunch is
shit.
Better. Lunch for a bunch of losers that like aren't even trying. No, that's better than them, rewarding your number
you
one
give,
employee.
I don't know what their metrics on in the TSA are. I mean, to me, it should be getting people by the fastest and the safest. And if your department or if your airport is in a top percentile of that, you should be rewarded for that. And it should go to the employees. I mean, $1 million between the higher ups probably doesn't mean as much as, you know, lunch once a year for the top, you know, whatever, airport, TSA airport, you know, like make it like a baller lunch. Like you,
I really want to be at that $1 million.
I mean,
lunch.
Listen, maybe like, you make
really,
it like,
really want to see
maybe
that.
You make it like, I don't know, $50,000 lunches. I mean, it's expensive. It's expensive to get a lot of people. Like there's a lot of TSA agents and they're there basically 24/7. So you have to like provide lunch for everybody. So it becomes like a very big expense.
Can I, did you guys hear that story about a person with a loaded gun getting through TSA?
Yeah, it's happened
It was like a year ago or something. I don't even remember the airport.
Yeah, he like went through and then came back to TSA and was like, you guys suck. I just got through with this.
It had to be Florida. I mean, where else would that happen?
Okay. Florida man gets through.
No doubt. To add on my topic, if you guys could guess, again, I don't know the exact metrics, but I know in 2018, the top airport where loose change was collected, and then the lowest, I won't say they're technically the lowest because some airports are so tiny, but like the airport at scale that had the smallest amount of collected loose change over the year of 2018. What airports would you pick, would you think, are in that, the top spot and the bottom spot?
Top spot, Atlanta.
Well,
that's what I would say.
Steven, this is your area of expertise.
I mean, Atlanta's the busiest airport, so if you're just going basically based off of, you know, the most amount of people and assuming that people are all the same, that they would, you know, essentially go through Atlanta the most.
Atlanta was number four.
Really? Number four. So.
Wow. I believe. Could have been number three.
Now, are all of these, like, international airports?
No, TSA is
America. I'm assuming they don't include every airport.
Well, TSA is only America.
So the smallest one will be real tough, but all I know is this article brought it up and was like laughing at how little. All right, I'll bring up the smallest one. It was Reno, Nevada, or whatever.
Oh, that's fair.
Was like they had like $6 and collected loose change for the whole year.
That's not buying lunch. All right, you know what? That brings up a good point. Probably Vegas might have a lot.
All right. I will reveal that JFK was the top producer.
I was going to say JFK next, but
yeah, sure you were.
Nah, I mean, I was going to say
just like
JFK
you like Star Wars.
Or,
the lies continue.
I mean, what was number two? Do you know?
LaGuardia was up there too.
Yeah, I was gonna say JFK and LaGuardia were gonna be my next two guests.
And LAX was up there.
Such classic, Steven. Doesn't even come close to the right answer. It's like, oh, I almost guessed that one.
All right, so yeah, definitely JFK. You can see LaGuardia. I could see it's just high density airports. Atlanta. Maybe people
in
Atlanta
being so low was surprising.
Yeah, Atlanta deals with like a lot of commercial like shipping as well. So, and they're like a hub for Delta. So,
talking about shipping, Steven, I don't know if you saw that article, but how about that 16 tons of cocaine that the federal investigators just found? I don't know the department, but holy shit.
It's like $1 billion.
I was talking with people at work today, and they were like, someone's getting killed today.
Yeah, definitely.
Literally. Definitely. This is like Ozarks. I don't know if you guys watch that or whatever. People are going to die.
Yeah.
100%.
You don't fuck with those people.
And someone's getting promoted, for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Whatever officer was on that, definitely someone's getting promoted.
Could you imagine $1 billion of cocaine? Like, that is insane. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
It's what do you even do?
It took up like a whole freighter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even ask what would you do? I'm not going to ask that, but what should you do if you like come across like a big bag of cocaine, like, or like, you know, one of those like kilo size bag, paper bags taped up, like, what? I guess just turn it into a police department and be like, I found this.
Yeah, definitely. Just be like, listen, I just found this.
But I wouldn't touch it. I would sit on it.
Oh yeah, just leave it there, right, and call the cops.
Yeah, exactly. Don't touch it.
Oh, that's an interesting thought. I would have definitely picked it up and brought it to the cops. This is what I found.
Damn, look at this coke.
Hey, guys, I found this backpack filled with white powder. I just was trying to do the Good Samaritan thing.
So, Jake, getting back on topic, what did the TSA do with that money that they found?
So the TSA is the Division of Homeland Security, and the money goes to Homeland Security, which to me is like fucked up, but like it should either stay with the TSA or...
Well, that's kind of like what I said. I said that they should give it back to the government because the government's paying them.
Yeah, but it's like this is where like philosophy breaks from reality, in my opinion, where philosophically that makes sense and that Homeland Security should need $1 million less from federal taxes or whatever to fund their systems. Mm-hmm. But you know that's not the case and they're just spending that money on extra shit because some guy in charge of Homeland Security is like, okay, boom, I got $100 million extra. I'm not lowering the amount I get from the federal government.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm against it.
Yeah, that's just the way government funding works, though. It's kind of like, you know, you take the money that you can and
you spend as much as you can, because if you underspend, you're not going to get it next year.
Yeah.
Exactly, which is so backwards.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous.
Oh, God.
Wait, does Homeland Security, is that part of your military? That's probably part of the military budget, right? I mean.
No, separate department.
No,
that's a separate department? Oh, okay. Interesting. Well, I'm happy that it goes back to the government, but I'm also not happy it goes back to the government.
No, fuck that.
Because it's definitely not coming back into our pockets.
As much as I will openly state on this podcast, I disagree with so much about Trump, it's not even funny. The reason, I think I've said this on this podcast, but the reason I think he got elected and the reason I even liked an element of him is just the idea of a businessman coming in and being like, this is all bullshit, and all of this is getting redlined, and being like, fuck this, you're getting money for nothing, where's the proof of your results from everybody paying you this money? And that was the idea that got him elected.
Yeah, I mean, it's really...
I don't know enough about politics to know whether it's happening or not. Doesn't seem to be. Our national debt is raising.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean,
that to me is just so fucking ridiculous.
It's what he sold. It's what he sold us. The bill of goods were sold as, hey, I'm a business guy and I know how to run all these successful businesses. And it's like, and I agree with you, Jake. I am not a Trump supporter in the least. I'm not afraid to say it. I didn't vote for him. You know, I didn't vote the other way either. I voted for a neutral or a third party. Let's just say I was happy that we were getting something else in the office, but I really didn't want this. It is the same thing. It's like, goddamn, like it's the government is just spending crazy money on silly things like this $1 million. Like, what did they really spend it on? You know,
we are $22 trillion in debt right now. And it's like, how is that not all that all these news channels talk about? Like,
yeah. I know. And then it's like you it's $22 trillion. You know what's even crazier? It's like
it's a funny number. Yeah, everybody's just like, oh, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't it even it's exist just at a this funny point? Number. Just...
Now I know where all that loose change should go.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's like you think about like, oh, literally. Like you're you know, if the government or the police collect like $10,000 in cash from like a drug dealer, like where does that money go? You know, is that just being put into, you know, another, is that just being put into another bank account where they just, you know, use that for something else? You know, it's just, it's crazy. I don't know. But now we're now you're on my page, Jake. Welcome to conspiracy theory.
Yeah. Hey, real life. Brooke and I are moving right now. We're talking about, you know, throwing out our couches, throwing out our bed frame, and you could go to these, you know, furniture stores and get, you know, zero interest for 5 years. And it's like, do I want to buy more furniture? Yes, you don't got to pay it all up front, but then I can afford, like, at this moment, you know, like,
yeah,
I still got a little bit of student debt and we'll probably get a mortgage soon. It's like, it's just such a snowball mentality, yeah, to the point that right now this, and that's what I think happened in this country, to a point where it's just such a funny number that it just doesn't even matter. And that's, yeah, even the idea behind a mortgage. Like, it's just so much money, you can never even imagine paying it, yeah, off. So it's just one day at a time.
You know,
that whole
funny
ideology just drives me crazy. There's how the rich stay rich and the poor stay poor.
Yeah, well, of course, yeah. One of the books I read was like The Millionaire Next Door or something. It was something along those lines. And basically it said that, like, one of the things that the middle class does to keep themselves in the middle class is they buy a car, and the car loan that they have, like, basically keeps them in the middle class. Like, and I have a car loan that I should be done, yeah, with soon. And it's like, that car loan, like, if I didn't have that car loan, it's an extra. I mean, I pay, you know, I'll just say I pay $300 on it a month. You know, I could pay less, but I just was like, oh, I'll pay $300 and I'll be off earlier. Like, that $300 a month, that's a lot of fucking money. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, imagine if you were a family. Like, I don't have a family. Imagine if you had two cars. That's double that amount and a mortgage. That's like, you know, they called it like the middle class tax or something like that. And that's why, yeah, a lot of millionaires.
Student loans. We, yeah, all just grew up like, you got to go to college, which I still promote, but it was just like, you got to get a student loan. And, you know, we just did it. We signed away whatever we could get. And it's like, you are paying out your ass on these loans. Yeah, like, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But
it's all a circle. Anyway, it's all a circle. Yeah. Very crazy.
Moving on.
Yeah. Moving on.
Who's next, Steven?
Tom, I want you're going to be the middleman today. Let's hear it, Tom.
So I decided I'm taking the role that Jake has been hogging the last 5-6 weeks, and I'm going to go with a very basic question: chocolate or vanilla ice cream?
Ooh, interesting one.
You said chocolate or vanilla?
Not even a chocolate
or vanilla. Fair. Ice cream.
Not even a question. It's
specifically ice cream.
I mean, there's only
vanilla
one
through and through.
I don't even know why we're, yeah, even.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even close.
There is
vanilla,
and it's chocolate. Oh, I knew it! I knew you were vanilla, boring vanilla, yeah, guy.
No, if you think vanilla's boring,
horrible,
you don't have a taste
horrible
bud
to hear, Jake,
on your tongue.
I'm very disappointed.
Wow! Oh my god! I love chocolate everything, with the exception, I don't even hate chocolate ice cream, but chocolate ice cream is weak sauce. Vanilla goes with brownies, goes with pie, it accompanies things, it's got a depth of flavor, there's French vanilla, there's vanilla, I don't know, there's other types of vanilla bean, that's the one I was thinking of, plain vanilla, it accompanies other flavors, you need to have a fine-tuned taste to appreciate what's going on. Chocolate is for, like, 3-year-olds to just smear over their face and get more on their face than the ground than what they get in their mouth. So you're all uncultured swine.
If you don't think that there are different types of chocolate, you're a fucking fool. But I will say this. Chocolate, vanilla is the base flavor. And I get it. Like, I appreciate it. It's there. Chocolate is not a base flavor. It's got more taste to it. It's like literally the better version of vanilla. I don't know how else to explain it. Like, you're literally getting vanilla.
Like, if vanilla,
you're getting
evolved,
vanilla plus
chocolate,
other things in it. Like, vanilla is just, that's why they call, oh, don't be so vanilla, because vanilla sucks. You're boring. It's
boring.
Yeah. It's really.
And I think you proved our point for us, Jake, is you put vanilla ice cream on pie, on brownies, on cookies, because by itself, it's fucking,
yeah,
lame.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. You need, nah, other things to complement a vanilla.
Oh my god!
A vanilla ice cream. You do not need other things to complement the chocolate ice cream. You could have chocolate ice cream by itself, or you could put other things on it. But mainly, you could have it by itself because it's that good.
Nah, it's trash. It's not even real chocolate. It's like manufactured bullshit.
I don't see how you could have vanilla and vanilla only.
I've done it, and it's great. Especially right. French vanilla. That's Let a personal preference.
Would you rather have like chocolate cake or vanilla cake?
Cake yeah, is an Wait, interesting what, probably like probably vanilla, but I'm not a huge cake guy, to be honest. Like, I'll leave it before I take it. And funfetti cake is like the cream of the crop, and that's technically a variation of vanilla.
Yeah. I'm not qualified to answer this either. I don't like cake.
Would you rather have cake or pie?
Pie.
Pie all day.
Are you fucking kidding me? Jake? You too, Jake? A fucking pie? You'd rather have pie than cake? Wow. Me? I am very surprised. Totally. Oh, this is pie is really just fruit with bread. That's all that is.
Yeah.
The fuck is cake? Better than cake. It's bread with icing.
I'm very surprised. I thought there were more cake eaters out there with me, but apparently not. Apparently.
You know what the best cake is? Strawberry shortcake, where it's fucking bread with fruit.
Definitely disagree with that. Best cake is probably funfetti. And then
a vanilla cake you mentioned. How funny.
That like cannoli cream cake.
Yeah, also not chocolate.
I mean, funfetti is spiced up, though. Funfetti is spiced up with the fetti. All right, but Jake, I mean, he was saying, like, funfetti, like, yeah, it's vanilla, but there's the fetti inside of it. That's the fucking...
Yeah, but it's how they work
together. Great, is the fetti.
Chocolate cake is boring,
Long story short, vanilla is definitely worse than chocolate, and Jake is definitely outvoted on this. You're definitely not changing my mind.
Yeah, well, you're all uncultured, so that's fine.
Cake sucks.
Yeah,
we can agree to that. Discussion. Cake
I don't
sucks.
Get what the problem. And I honestly don't understand why you guys hate cake.
It's just boring. It's lame. It dries you out. It's empty calories.
Let's talk about uncultured vanilla. Vanilla is the definition of uncultured.
The quality of vanilla a good vanilla. There is no like high level good chocolate ice cream.
All right, so it's pretty definitive that Jake is for vanilla, but
the
also
winning side
is for pie, so he's double negative. Tom is for chocolate, but also for pie, so he's like positive negative. And I'm chocolate and cake, so definitely double positive.
So actually, you know what? This is a good time. I want to update you guys. So after the toilet paper podcast.
Oh, that's right.
I went out. I had to buy new toilet paper. So I decided I went out and I bought Charmin over Scott. So I bought it and it was half the amount of toilet paper for three times the price.
Where are you buying your Charmin?
But I was like, all right.
The corner bodega that overcharges for
I got six rolls and it was like $15 and I could have gotten like 12 rolls of Scott for like six.
Yeah, where are you buying this? Where are you buying this? The Scott Factory?
I just went to Walgreens.
Go to Stop and Shop. Go to your grocery store.
Fuck that
buy some
either
paper
too.
There, like a
you gotta buy it in bulk,
or you could buy it off Amazon Prime, like I do, and it's you just buy six rolls, 6 to 8 rolls. You're good.
That's what I did. I bought six rolls, and you know what? It's lasted a lot
Does
longer than I expected
better?
It to. I still have it. But I'm also never home, so there's another thing. Does my bum feel better? I do think that... No, I don't think so. I think I sit just as comfortably. I'm not saying Charmin's worse. I'm saying it's about the same. And I'd rather spend $10 less on toilet paper.
Uncultured person, I understand your predicament, but I don't know where you're buying your I don't really know where you're buying your toilet paper, but mine is very really similar priced where I am. I guess the New York Long Island Charmin lobbyists are really fighting for me because there's like zero. I don't think there's any real difference.
I think Scott actually heard our podcast and went to the Walgreens by my house and was like, lower the prices, lower the prices. He's going to come by.
All right. Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah. Who knew Scott was such a beggar?
Well, I don't know why. Like, my mom used to buy Scott all the time, but now when I made the switch to when I became an adult and lived in my by myself, I made the switch to Charmin, and it's I haven't looked back. All right, so my topic, we're going back to sports. We've been having like three or four sports things in a row, and I think mixing this with one of my favorite topics, robotics, I think we're gonna have a good debate here. So I want to know what you guys feel about basically, instead of having human referees or the human element, I'm going to put that in quotes, the human element, would you rather have a robot determining what are fouls and what are not? And this is stretching across all sports, but the big one is baseball. There you could theoretically have a laser strike zone where it definitely 100% determines if it's a strike or a ball, along with, you know, out or safe. Like, those things could be determined by robots and not by humans. So what are you guys' feelings? Are you guys for humans and their inaccuracy, or for robots and their perfectness?
There's only one sport that robots belong in, and it was a TV show in the early 2000s, and it's called BattleBots.
Don't disrespect BattleBots, man.
And it was a
I have no fucking idea.
Is it still on?
Definitely not.
It's definitely not. Remember Spike TV?
If it is still on, we're going. Listen, man, sports are made by humans. The refereeing, while it's imperfect, that's what makes sports so great. If everything was black and white in sports, you wouldn't love it so
much.
This is legitimately
making my skin crawl. So polarizing with how much I'm angry at that statement you just said. And I'm about three quarters into this bottle of wine right now, and I am absolutely disagreeing with that. Jake, I want to hear your topic before I go on my rant.
Nah, I mean, I'm with you, Steven. You can rant away. Everything you're gonna say, all right, we've already talked about, and I'm on your side.
Listen. The problem with sports and referees is that you cannot get an accurate reading from where you are. And I disagree, Tom. Sports are made by humans, but that doesn't mean that humans should be the only ones making the calls on the field. I think that if you're a team and you are in a situation where you deserve a call because they're breaking the rules, which is a fucking rule in the book. If there's a law that you break, you broke the law.
Can I jump in, Steven?
Yeah, sure.
I'm sorry to jump in, but sports were made for human teams to fight against each other or to play against each other to see which is better. That's why sports are made. That's what makes them entertaining. Two, hopefully, evenly matched teams playing against each other to see which one is better. That is the goal of sports. And by having referees that create imperfection in the game, it takes away from which team is better, with all honesty.
Listen, I think, one, it makes the games more entertaining. And two, on a actual, like, serious level, there are certain things, certain calls, certain penalties that are subjective. And you would have to, I don't think a robot could understand certain subjective calls.
You, as a rules are not subjective, in my opinion, especially in sports. You either did the thing or you did not do the thing. Is it a strike or is it not a strike? That is not
all right.
Subjective.
I'm going to give you an example right here. Okay. You got a wide receiver running down the sideline. You have a cornerback chasing him.
Best position in all sports. The ball is thrown in the wide receiver's direction.
You mean the quarterback that threw the ball, which is the best position of all?
No.
You got a robot staring at this play. Now, the rule is no contact, right? Their legs get tangled up. Who does the robot call the penalty on, because in a robot's eyes, no contact is allowed.
Tom, you're talking about a robot today. But
you see as a human.
Yes. Technology, artificial intelligence is not at the point that it can 100% clarify that, and that's why we still have human refs. But we're talking about the philosophy behind, is a human ref necessary to play the game of football? And the answer is no. Once we get robots to the point where they can clearly determine the rules as set by the NFL commission, whatever, once we have the robots who can do that, 100% there should be no more human refs.
I'm going to read what pass interference is.
But that comes down, hold on, that the pass interference comes down to an intention. And I don't think a robot can truly read a human's intention.
I disagree with that, but I'm going to read the rule in pass interference. Pass interference is a foul that occurs when a player interferes with an eligible receiver's ability to make a fair attempt to catch a forward pass. Pass interference includes tripping, pushing, pulling, or cutting in front of the receiver, covering the receiver's mask, or pulling on the receiver's hands or arms. It does not include catching or batting the ball before it reaches the receiver. Once the ball touches the defensive player or eligible offensive receiver, the above rule no longer applies, and the defender may tackle the receiver or attempt to prevent him from gaining control of the ball. That those are explicit definitions of literally tell a computer that those are. I understand that technology is not up to the par of what we need it to be, but those definitions are things you could tell a computer to say, if it is this, 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 or this, okay, it is pass interference. If it is not this, this, or this, or this, that's a fair call. You're good to go. Now you can go.
Yeah, but okay, by the standards of that rule, okay, your feet getting tangled with someone else's feet is a penalty.
You're right.
And in reality,
you're 100%
right.
It's not. It's a bullshit fucking system that we have now where humans are making that call when it's not a human. Yes. It's an outside force. It should be team A versus team B. Not team A and team B are playing on the same field with team C is going to determine the outcome of that game.
And Tom, I'm going to say right now there is a severe bias in all refs, I would say, to throw the flag on the defense quicker and not assume, and this is my understanding of the rule, sort of how Steven read it, but the defender is also a receiver on the play. They're both receivers going, and there's nothing but a machine that could be completely unbiased in determining who tangled feet with who or who pushed who. One time, all I could say is you could add a rule to a future AI that says if they are just tangling feet, it's not a penalty. But if you see somebody intentionally step out of their stride to trip someone, that is a penalty. Maybe it's not capable today, but I don't doubt in the near future that could be programmed easily. But a computer could do it way better than a human of being unbiased at, oh, that's the receiver. He's the one who should catch the ball versus the defender, and they both got tripped up, so I'm going to throw the flag on the defender. I think it's way more valid. I think we should shift off of football and talk more about baseball because it is the one where we're all maybe a little less comfortable with. We're not as much of fans of, but it is where we've heard baseball players say that the umpire's strike zone is so much more an element of the game. And that's taking away from the game by making everybody's strike zone, you know, obviously every player is a different strike zone, but making it a mathematic equation is pulling from the game.
Well,
a tough one to answer.
To me, baseball is such a binary sport in that it is a strike or it is not a strike. It is an out or it is not an out. It is a fair ball or it is not a fair ball. This is like the perfect game for a computer to go in and to be the fucking rule maker. Like, that's what it should be. Like, every camera should be pointed. I mean, there's like at least, I think in a football game, there's like 65 cameras. I mean, it's like some absurd amount of cameras. I would imagine it's the same for baseball or very similar, where they have an absurd amount of cameras all over the place. There should be cameras all over the place, and there should be literally like laser-guided strike zones and foul ball, fair ball zones. Same exact thing. Do you agree with that, Tom, or not agree with that? Like, I would like to go sport by sport, because at least of the major sports.
When it comes to when it comes to baseball, I would say yes, because I think, like you said, it's very binary. The rules are less ambiguous. It's kind of like it's a yes or a no. It's a one or a zero. But there's other sports where that's not the case. And, you know, I mean, listen, it could be the sport's fault with, for example, football. Do you love football?
I do. I love it. It's my favorite sport.
One of the things about football is its rules are a bit ambiguous. Would you agree?
I would definitely not agree with that.
Disagree.
I think that the biggest rule that people say
they can't even define a catch
is pass interference, and
they can't even define a catch.
There is a definable category. There is a definable catch that we can define. I could look it up, but to me, it's not an unbinary decision. It is either a catch or it is not a catch. And here are the ways you can look at what a catch is.
Well,
and that is
what Tom is touching on is the idea of possession of a football. Just because it's in your hand doesn't mean you have possession yet. If you have two fingers on it versus three fingers, OBJ could catch a ball with three fingers, but someone else, it may be moving a bit.
Yep.
But Tom, all I feel that needs is a computer's further investigation of really finding that fine point where this millimeter makes it not possession versus this millimeter. The three fingers are completely on the ball versus slightly separated. It's just the level of the game we haven't looked at yet. The rules, we don't have the robots or the refs looking at it at that level. So right now it's still left a bit ambiguous, but 10 years from now, the computers will be able to tell all that and it'll just be like, boom, that was not a catch. He jiggled that for a millimeter while it was coming down or whatever. Whatever, the NFL is going to keep the game competitive and as fair as they can with the technology on hand as they move forward. But it needs to be the future idea, because what happened in the last 2018-2019 football season was fucking ludicrous. And you all know I boycotted the NFL for it. Didn't watch the Super Bowl. Huge NFL fan. If anybody wants to boycott with me, hit me up on Instagram. But I'm back because they made some rule changes. They're advancing. But all I got to say is the future of the NFL is robotic refs. 100%.
I will say this. They do not bring the robots in because it does create controversy and it does create drama for the season.
But every year, it's becoming more and more autonomized. We're going to New York for the call.
I agree, Jake.
Whatever it is, it's becoming more and more.
Yeah, I agree. In my personal opinion, I think football, American football, is one of the most controversial games to call because of the calls are very controversial. You're right, Tom. It is probably the most. And I feel that I'm a very big football fan. I really feel that there should be three refs on the fucking field and everybody else should be in a booth and everybody else should be sitting in a booth looking at a monitor, because you know what? We all in at home, sitting at home, we could see a lot more than what those guys could see on TV. We 100%. Definitely can. Like, it, there are so many cameras on the game. They could get such a better angle. There should be 8 to 10 guys sitting in a booth in, like, literally, like, no windows. You can't see anything in a booth. Just,
you want to put them in a dungeon,
yes,
Steven?
The neutral playing ground.
Feed me a cheeseburger.
All the refs are.
Drone.
There should be three refs on the field. The three refs on the shield on the field will be
little Timmy's crossing the street.
Run him over. I'm in my dungeon.
Run him over.
Oh my god. Well, I think that. So let's go through some sports. I'd like to hear all of our
it's
positions
really
on
just
this.
Tom.
So baseball. We all pretty much agree with Tom. We all agree with robots.
I agree with you guys. We all agree. Robots
and baseball. We're agreeing on that. What about basketball? You feel robots should be doing basketball, Tom?
I don't really know too much about basketball and the controversial calls. Yeah. To me, it's like the basket went in or it didn't go in.
Well, there are fouls. The fouls that are there, traveling, that's a huge thing. I don't know that much about basketball, but yeah, those are big things.
Yeah. I mean, like, I guess the thing is, like, sometimes in in basketball. You get this in any sport that I could see it being a real problem for robot referees is sometimes two fouls are happening at the same time. And you kind of need to make a judgment call as to which foul caused the other one or which foul was more intentional than the other one.
If two fouls happen at the same time, it's just two fouls. I mean, if anything, a robot could see fouls, then
well, I think, faster than I any think that it. You'll get those two fouls more often with a robot. Because they'll see little things, little movement, like, oh, the basketball, his 2 feet weren't planted fully, so technically that's a charge.
All right.
But it, like, really wasn't.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Tom, so it's just football, a learning process, and it'll all happen over time, where they'll have computers trying to figure all that out. But once they get the computer to know, you know, just have a human be like, that was not charging, even though he thought it was 100 million times, then the computers will learn the little nuances.
I still think it'll be the death of sports. It's still going to be humans against humans.
Just removes that unfair element of a player not doing something illegal and getting called for it or vice versa.
Yeah. I agree. Basketball, so let's move to baseball. We get it. Basketball. Soccer? I think soccer could be robots.
Yeah, I don't know. No,
soccer probably rules, should be with all that embellishment.
You know I'm with you.
With all that flopping.
Fair. Very fair. I agree with that. Soccer. All right. Hockey. I mean.
But also, like.
Hockey, Tom?
I love the interactions in soccer between the ref and the flopper. When he's like, what did I do?
Yo, that's.
I didn't do anything.
There's some great.
It's hilarious.
There's some great gifs of like. There's a one gif of a guy. A goalie like, oh, come on, he's not really that hurt. And the guy's like, like on the ground. And he, like, the goalie picks him up and puts him on the feet. And he's just like, oh, come on, ref. And the ref has to give the goalie a yellow card for going over and picking him up. It was like, God damn it. I would be so angry.
That's what a robot would have to do that. A robot would have to give that yellow card too.
Yes. I mean, you got to have humans out there to pretend that the robots aren't making the calls. But we all know the robots are making the calls. All right. So hockey, Tom. I know you're a big hockey fan. What do you feel about that?
I think no. I think they just need better. I think they need better review processes in the box. They need to kind of tweak their rules a little bit, but. I just think that a lot of calls are subjective.
All right, fair enough. I disagree.
I don't think a computer does subjective. I don't think computers handle that.
I think you'll see big improvements on computer to human interactions in the next 5 to 7 years. It's making crazy headway right now. There are computers out there, Tom, that are like literally predicting what humans want to hear, want to see, and they're making paintings, making music. It's really intense. I just watched, literally, I'm going to link this. I'll send this to you guys after the podcast, but there's a mirror. It's a Panasonic mirror that literally takes a scan of your face and will literally see all the blemishes and things on your face, and you could digitally put in what kind of makeup you want on your face, but it'll just scan your face, see what blemishes you have on your face, and then print out fucking makeup that you just stick on your face and you just put on. Like, it's crazy the amount of stuff that technology is doing nowadays. I think we're going to see a huge,
is that
huge
your best example
in...
of best case scenario? The amount of makeup.
No, but that's a huge thing. Makeup on
Did
a human
face. Did you see
face.
The makeup it's they, literally that predicting, the refs just gave Tom it's, Brady? It's
predicting what people incredible. Want on their face, and they're putting it on it. That's crazy. I don't know. You guys got to see it. It's pretty intense.
My agency is doing what they call impact modeling. It's really cool, but they basically take, you know, 7 years of research, however much data they could get of, like, past experience on any topic with as many inputs as they can, and they project into the future with like a 2% degree of variable. Tom, you're being ridiculous.
I'm a referee.
2% variable
of like a percentage of factors that they're not taking into account. So there's like you know, if you do X, Y, and Z, you'll get the best results, and they're predicting the future. But obviously they're not taking into account every possible factor of what could happen in the future, so they leave themselves a variable, but it's like, they're like, it's crazy accurate on getting ROI on predicting how to spend your money on marketing. And it's really cool stuff.
Yeah.
I've been like nerding out on it, and they call it like a neural net because they have AI that just does over a billion iterations of what you could spend your money on in the future in marketing, and it's...
You find that cool? I find that insanely scary. That is so fucking scary that that is a thing. Yeah, that's the future. Are you kidding me? It's like that is
him run the model.
All that is, is just
Steven on this one.
That is so fucking scary. Like that is happening.
And they call it a neural network because it works like a brain. They don't think it's not an actual brain. It's just a model, but it works like neurons firing in your brain. But that's how the chart basically branches out, because it's like from point A, you know, you've got seven different things to invest in or whatever, and those seven branches break out into all the different possibilities, and then that breaks out into the different possibilities after, you know, after you change one little factor in it. It was this crazy tree like, and then it just like highlights the one route that's like your best result. And it was like, holy crap, this is amazing.
Jesus Christ, that is crazy and also very scary. I'm very afraid of the future.
It's gonna change. I mean, we invented the internet, we've had amazing advances, the next big breakthrough is coming through soon. It's gonna change all our lives.
True. Robots, AI is gonna take over, and none of us are gonna have jobs.
We are not going down this rabbit hole right now.
You're right, Tom. All right, so in the end, robotics. Tom, did we change your mind at all on robotics in the sports?
You picked a lot that you would have robot refs.
I would say I was about 50-50. Yeah, I was about 50-50 on the sports.
Okay. So, Jake, did Tom change your mind at all
about not even
robotics
close.
And sports? The robots? Yeah, I'm the same way. I am 100% for robots. I just for the future, when robots do take over and they're harvesting our bodies, Steven Madison of New York, Long Island, is for robots overall. I don't want... You ever see those Boston Dynamic guys kicking over robots and shit? I am not that guy. I am for robots.
Steven, just put the patent on it right now.
Sports players have a universal income?
You own the robots.
Oh, gosh.
I'll be rewarded the same regardless of how well they perform.
Just put this... Put this in the archive, all right? I am for robots. I will work with you. I will not work against you.
Alrighty, guys.
All right. Well, I am literally, I just poured the last little bit of this bottle of wine, so I'm about ready to go. It's been a night. Perfect it's been a timing. Night. And I thank you very much, the Beggars of Actively Begging. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that jazz, at Actively Begging. And thank you very much. As much as I want to say that these guys are right, they are definitely wrong again this week. They're having a bad record. I don't know. It's like 0-7 at this
we
point.
We even agreed with them.
It's true. But again, I am right. And these guys are definitely wrong. Thank you very much, Beggars. We'll see you next week.
See ya.